Welcome back to another episode of Northeastern Next. On today's episode, we have Catherine Argyropoul, whose latest film, Growing Pains, gives the coming-of-age genre a fresh perspective. We'll discuss the film, the process of being accepted to a film festival, and how Northeastern influenced her decision to become an independent filmmaker. Let's get into it. All right. Awesome. Hello, Catherine. Welcome to the Northeastern Next podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Tommy.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for joining. You know, as you were saying before, I'm glad we were able to finally connect. Shout out Bianca from Fromova for setting us up. This is awesome. You know, sounds like we've got a lot to talk about. You know, you have a lot of exciting things happening this month, honestly. You know, like I know this is the Northeastern Next podcast and Next is very soon for you. So are you in, you're in LA right now, right?
Yeah. So a little background about me. Mm-hmm. I'm an independent filmmaker and I am a graduate of the College of Arts, Media and Design. And I am originally from the Boston area, but I've been in LA for a little over a year now to pursue my craft and dreams as a filmmaker, which has been really exciting. But I'm really stoked because I'm coming out with my debut feature film, Growing Pains, that I made following my graduation at Northeastern. And we're world premiering in a big film festival back at home in Massachusetts. So I'm coming back home, which is very exciting. And it's a dream come true. We're premiering at the Boston International Film Fest. And then doing a community premiere for our team and anyone who wants to see the film a few days later at the Somerville Theater. So April is quite literally a life-changing month for me and my teammates. And it's just really cool when you've been working on something for a long time to finally be able to share it with the world.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, it's like we talked about, you know, in our preliminary phone call. This is a dream for a lot of people. And the fact that you're accomplishing it so soon, like when year did you graduate again? Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like 2020, right?
No, so I graduated in fall 2021.
Okay.
And I started writing Growing Pains actually in my final semester of college. And you know, I went to Northeastern with the dream of becoming a filmmaker, but I think I, you know, struggled to really believe in myself for a long time and believe that that was like a viable career path, especially being from Massachusetts. It's just such a, not like an arts centered place in many ways. So I guess I'll re-answer, but I graduated in fall 2021 and I started writing the film my final semester of Northeastern. And following graduation, I went on to finish the film with the writing and then, you know, shoot the film over the summer of 2022. So I actually worked with a lot of people on from Northeastern on the film, which was super cool. It was like a team of women largely from Northeastern, including Professor Michelle Carr, who was my former professor at Northeastern in CAMD, which was amazing. And she came on as an associate producer of the film. And Bianca, who introduced me to Tommy and helped me get on this podcast, she was my script supervisor. And we were classmates in Bill Lancaster's like comms classes. So that was just super, like a full circle moment. And same with my friend Rachel Feinberg. She was also a classmate of Bianca on mine, and she helped me make the film. And also Michelle ended up recruiting some current students to help us out. So it was like largely a team from Northeastern. And in my work, I tend to gravitate towards female-centered stories made by a team of women. So that was really important to me to have that representation on screen, but also behind the camera.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. I had no idea that Northeastern, like it's like you said, Northeastern kind of, I guess, is it fair to say that it amplified your interest in filmmaking? Because I know you said you went into Northeastern being like, I want to be a filmmaker. This is what I want to do with my life. And it sounds like Northeastern kind of gave you the resources for it, not to put words in your mouth, but how else did it impact that decision?
For sure. I think I actually went into college in 2017. So I went into college after I took this amazing gap year where I worked abroad in Cape Town at a shark cage and scuba diving company. It was
Oh,
kind of a
wow.
wild experience. And then I also worked abroad in the Bahamas at this experiential education school that I attended as a study abroad. They're also a research institute called the Island School. And so I was doing communications work then. And, in early high school, all throughout my gap year, I did a lot of photo video work and I ran my own business. So I knew I had this interest in the creative arts and especially in film. But I think what really came together for me during my time at Northeastern was just really refining the craft and like diving deep in what exactly I wanted to do in film, because my experience in video started off as more like videography, which is totally different from filmmaking. And I was doing a lot of like event videos, and it's just a different craft, honestly, and different skill set versus being on like a formal film production set. And Northeastern was really cool. I was a media and screen studies major with a minor in entrepreneurship and film production. So I was really able to kind of refine my craft. And media and screen had a lot of like film theory courses, but also a lot of cool production courses where, like with Michelle Carr, my associate producer, I took studio production. So that was like you're in the TV studio at CAMD and you're making like four live productions. And the pressure's on because I had never worked live before or done anything live TV. So it was cool to, be able to direct and then operate the switcher behind the scenes and get some experience on set. And then, I loved TV Fields with Sam Lotif, that I took that class. And that was just such a fun experience to make a music video and make a short film. And that class, as well as my screenwriting class with Ellen Fontana, who's still at Northeastern, was just like really eye-opening for me. And I had always been a writer too. As a kid, I would always write in journals and all throughout my teen and adult life. And I ended up like wanting to write a novel when I was younger. And I think I even started it when I was like 7 or 8, but I don't even remember what it was about, Tommy. But I think I forgot about that dream until I was in college and I was in the screenwriting class. And it was the first time I was creative writing in years and years. And so I was just so inspired and I refound my love for writing and creatively and telling stories. And it was super cool because her class, I was just so like amazed by, how she taught it and everything we learned. And I think that was like the jump start for me being like, oh, I want to write a film and I'm good at this. And this is fun for me. And it's so playful and it doesn't really feel like work, even though I'm working really hard on this. And so that kind of sparked my interest in being a professional writer. And, the TV studio class, or the TV field class rather, with Sam Lotif, was cool because it was just, making films with my friends. And I, got my feet wet. And I had also, like, over the course of the last 2 years in my time at Northeastern, I had been doing like freelance video work where I would director photography projects, so operate the camera and do cinematography work and even direct a few projects independently for this production company, Made in Mass Productions. And the coolest thing I did with them was like make a 40-minute short film. It was a musical comedy,
Oh,
which was
fun.
fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was a project I was contracted to do, and I ended up directing and DPing the project. And it was really playful, and it also worked with a lot of kids and was coming of age in a sense, which I love that youthful energy in that genre. And that's largely what my work in narrative is about. So that was super cool. But yeah, like I was at very much a crossroads too in my final year at Northeastern, because it became clear to me I'm going to pursue my dreams as a filmmaker and pursue this career path, even though so many people, kind of tried to sway me from doing that, not at Northeastern, but just in general, because I think when you're an artist, especially in New England, it's not the typical career path. Like here in LA, everyone's an artist, but in New England, it's just different trades or tech, medicine, education, and there's different centers of focus. So I, was pretty swayed from following that as a viable career path. And, I even considered other things with entrepreneurship and business, but through my studies, I really found, no, this is meant for me. And so I was really considering getting my MFA following my graduation in 2021
Oh,
and
nice.
studying either cinematography or directing. And I wasn't sure what my path would necessarily be because I was always used to being the cinematographer, being the one behind the camera, and I wasn't as comfortable with directing, and I didn't really see myself as a director. But truthfully, I think I didn't really see myself as a director because I was kind of doubting my abilities and talking myself out of it. And once I started writing the script for Growing Pains in the fall of my final semester of Northeastern, I decided, no, I really want to direct this film and make a feature and be able to follow that dream and that career path. And so I decided not to get my MFA, which ended up for me being the best decision ever because making Growing Pains was such an amazing film school experience that I think was more valuable, not only financially, but also just like in terms of my education. Because typically, when you get your MFA, you're specializing in one field or one craft. So you would go in as a cinematographer, you would go in as a director or as a writer. And for Growing Pains, I was the director, the writer, and the executive producer. So I really got to have a large sense of creative freedom and creative control to execute my vision. And also, I got so much experience on all fronts of filmmaking throughout every step of the process from pre-production all the way through post-production, the editing, and now through the release and distribution and marketing of the film. And every silo of that is so different. And, in film school too, it's a different scale. It's like you make a short film versus a feature, and my movie is 1 hour and 37 minutes. So doing that independently, with the tools that Northeastern gave me was just like such a great learning experience.
Yeah, it sounds like Northeastern really provided more than a degree for you, if that makes
For
sense.
sure. Yeah. And I have to say, like I said earlier, I'm from the Boston area, and everyone has always talked super highly about Northeastern. I had that was where my grandfather went when Northeastern was only one building. Like literally one
It's
building.
far from that now.
I know it's way far from that. So, my grandparents would talk really highly about it, but also, I had just like friends, family, people from my hometown went to Northeastern. But the co-op program is really what sets Northeastern apart from all the other schools, not only in Boston, but really in the country. And I was, always a person who gravitated towards learning by doing and that experiential form of education. And, that's what I did when I studied abroad in high school at the Island School and then back on my gap year when I was working there. And I found the co-op program just so cool and unique, and my parents really advocated for that. And they were like, you could do something more traditional, like a different college experience and more of that campus feel, and you could intern over the summers, but like you're not really a traditional kid or person. And I haven't really lived a traditional or conventional life given my background. For context, too, I don't think I mentioned this, but I'm a childhood cancer survivor, and I made the film about my experience having had cancer and how that impacted my life. And so nothing about my life has been conventional and since childhood. And I think doing school in the format of going to classes and then co-oping and studying abroad and having all these amazing experiences and resources at hand at Northeastern was just so amazing to really see what I like and even see what I don't like too. I remember I was in the business school for a minute and I took a accounting class and I did not like that. And I was like, because I thought I was gonna get a business minor. And I was like, that's not for me. I would rather hire someone with that skill set. Yeah. So I did find out, I am business savvy, but more in an entrepreneurial and creative way versus a numbers way. And it's cool because the school has all sorts of opportunities. And with study abroad and with co-op, I was really able to be all over the world. Like I came into Northeastern and I did NUN right off the bat, and I studied abroad in Sydney, and I made my closest friends from college and now still to this day from that program. And it was just such a great foundation, and I'm in love with Sydney and I'm in love with Australia. So really cool to fulfill a dream of mine to be able to live over there for an extended period of time. And then I actually went back to Sydney to co-op at 72 and Sunny, which is a really great advertising agency across the bridge in Manly, which is a beautiful surf town, beach town. It's, oh my God, it's amazing on in northern Sydney. It is just so cool. And I would take the ferry every day to work and see the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge and, you know, on my lunch break, walked onto the beach. Super cool experience. And then I also had my first co-op at VMware, which was a tech company owned by Dell. And I was co-oping with a great group of people who turned out to be an amazing group of friends
Oh, cool.
in 2019 in the spring. And I was like a video and studio production co-op. And that was in Palo Alto in Silicon Valley. So it was just really cool to get that experience and do video work and producer work, but more on the corporate side. And I ended up also, you know, I had such a great experience working at VMware, and ended up taking a job there when I was moving out to LA last year. And I worked all last year as a social media manager for VMware and a video producer.
Oh,
And it was
nice.
just really cool. Like I was back on the same team and it was great because, you know, without that co-op and without Northeastern, I wouldn't have made that connection. And thankfully that job too was what gave me the ability to independently finish my film. So I'm really grateful for that. And I was able to, you know, refine my skill set in social media for a great company with great people. And yeah, I did some cool work too, where I was the like social media lead on their partnership with McLaren Formula One Racing. So that was
No
just like
way.
really fun. But unfortunately for me and my team, VMware ended up getting acquired and everyone got laid off last fall and even into this year. But I did feel like, truthfully, Tommy, it was like a great transition for me in my career because even though I had an amazing time working there and I loved the people and it was a great job, I think what I'm meant to be doing is be a narrative filmmaker, and be a creative, and being in the corporate setting might not have been the most aligned thing for me, you know, just with my career path of choice.
Yeah, I can. I mean, just based on what everything you were telling me, that's you sound like you are sort of wired to just travel the world and be creative, you know? I mean,
Thank
that's really
you.
cool. Like, just, I mean, I think it's so cool that you did the NUN down in Sydney and you loved it so much. You were like, you know what? I gotta go back. A lot of people usually just kind of do, they like are like, okay, I checked that off the list. But you made a point to get back there and just experience, I don't want to say an entirely different culture, but you know, it's not the United States either, I'm sure. So
No, yeah. And it's funny, you know, I was raised by a family of avid travelers, and my love for Australia started way before I did NUN. My dad went to Australia when I was probably 8, and he came back and he got me this cool sweater that said Australia was pink. And he showed me pictures from Sydney and he did the bridge climb on the Harbour Bridge and, you know, showed me the Great Barrier. And I was like, I just looked at the map and I don't know why. I pointed to Perth, which is on the West Coast, and go, I want to live there. And still to this day, I've never been to Perth, but I still have this like fascination with it. But
Yeah.
anyways, my mom ended up taking me and my sister on this amazing trip to Australia and New Zealand. And it was like a 1 or 2 years after that. And we all just fell in love with it. And it was just such a cool thing to do with my parents and with my family. And it was just like such a core memory, you know? And ever since then, I was like, I want to live in Australia. And I kept trying to find ways back there. So I did like a service project back there in high school. And then it was actually funny because when NUN came around and I got the acceptance letter, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go because I applied to colleges and I was deferring because I knew I wanted to take a gap year. I knew I wanted time away from education and time to explore the world and work and, you know, come back to school feeling really inspired and really like rejuvenated because I have always been a pretty intense student and person in my craft. And I pushed myself really hard in high school. So I'm like, I just need to do something different. But I
Yeah.
did want to go to college. And, you know, my parents were like, you can take a gap year if you're going to college and if you pay for it. So I was like, okay, done. And so I, you know, worked all summer at the sandwich shop that ended up being in my movie. That's a later
Oh, is that
story.
the shop?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if that how you were able to get that. Okay.
So I worked actually I worked there for probably a year and a half in my final semester or my final year of like high school, and it was amazing, you know, because I had that connection. They ended up lending me the location for free over 3 days
Wow.
that they were closed, and they gave me a great discount as like a former employee on the catering, and they're just homies. I got to shout out Express Gourmet and Wellesley because they are great people with great food. And it was really, really nice, you know. And I always say to, this is a different conversation now than the one we were previously talking about, but I wouldn't have been able to make this movie anywhere else other than in Massachusetts. You know, I always say, like, if you're making a first project and it's a big project, like a feature film, use your community, use your resources, because people will help you out. And you know, if I moved to LA without knowing anyone and I tried to make my feature here with limited resources and time and budget, it would have been much bigger of a challenge. And, you know, I used my connections for every single part of the movie. And that was just really how that happened. But back to the high school thing, you know, I worked saving up money, doing photo video stuff and at the sandwich shop. And then I, got the acceptance letter to NUN, and they were like, you have to do NUN. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do NUN because I'm going to be abroad for the year prior. And you know, it would be kind of cool to start like in Boston, like with the other kids, and you know, not be abroad for a year and a half. That's a long time. And Northeastern was like, nah, you gotta go. Or you don't go to Northeastern. And I was like, well, I gotta go to Northeastern, twist my arm, I'll go to Australia. So I
Yeah,
ended
right?
up,
Oh
you know,
no.
no,
So
it ended
hard.
up being like an amazing thing and the best experience. And it's so funny too, because now it's like full circle. Like my cousin just did NUN Scotland, and
Oh,
she now
cool.
has great friends through it, and she's like, I want to co-op in Australia. How can you do it? And it's just cool how there's like full circle things like that. And I like, seriously, I surf with my friends from NUN every Friday. Like it's such a big part of my life, that program, and Northeastern in general, and I'm so grateful for it. And I do think everything happens for a reason, you know?
Oh, 100%. And it sounds like that it was a good reason for you, you know? It sounds No, it sounds like it was the beginning of a really great Northeastern experience for you. And, you know, of course that's so great to hear because clearly where you are now started with that NUN letter, you know. Thankfully you said yes to going to Australia. Like you said though, twist your arm. I'm sure that was a really difficult decision. But I'd
I
love
think
to. Oh yeah.
for me, no, but for some people, maybe, like if they've never left home before or leaving the country, like that's scary. Like
Oh
that is
yeah.
scary. And you know, I think my mom has very much raised us being like, you should pursue all the opportunities you want to pursue. And I'm so grateful for my parents for encouraging us to follow our dreams and do unconventional things and, you know, work hard and it pays off. But some people, you know, just want to stay closer to home or do something a more traditional route, and maybe that's better for them, you know. And I totally
Yeah.
think it's not for everyone, especially like the school, like Northeastern. Like some people want your typical college experience, and that's not what Northeastern is. But I
Right.
do think the people who take advantage of all the opportunities Northeastern has to like provide and offer in the community, like they are just going to benefit so much.
I completely agree. I think that's the beauty of Northeastern is that they have so many resources, more than a lot of other schools can provide, so many opportunities, and they're very good at offering them to you, but also at the same time making a point like it's up to you to make these decisions, but we can also help guide you to making these decisions, if that makes sense.
Totally.
That's
Yeah.
awesome. But yeah, I'd love to talk about the film a little bit, Growing Pains. I watched it, I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic film.
Oh,
And
thank you.
yeah, of course. And you know, you alluded to it a little bit earlier about how the seed was planted with childhood experience, but I want to know, you said you started writing it your last semester at Northeastern. So is that really when everything sort of kind of came together? Was that last semester?
I would say that was the beginning, but it didn't come together until probably the spring of 2022, when the gears started working and I was, full time on the film, because I was still a student when I was finishing, when I started writing the film, and my writing partner Mari and I just started meeting every week or every other week, and it was very much us finding the story. And I actually, I had an inkling of what I wanted to write about, and I knew I wanted to write about teen girls and friendship and two really different friends going through unique life experiences and drifting apart. Actually, the film is set, it's a coming of age drama, and it's set in the summer between middle and high school, and it's about two friends drifting apart before they go to high school and their transition through just really tough times in their life, and how they keep missing each other over the summer and just like are both facing really intense identity and emotional experiences and growing through that. But I knew I wanted to write about friends, and I knew I wanted to write this with a writing partner because I wanted to write it with someone who had a really unique perspective, a diverse perspective different from mine, because I knew I wanted to speak about my experience as a childhood cancer survivor and how that informed my life. But having like a balance with someone and also a unique thing to say and unique life experience was important to me. And, as a childhood cancer survivor, this was just something I made the film, I think, because I had never seen anything like it before. I had stage three neuroblastoma when I was 4, to 5 years old. So I have known this identity of either having had cancer or being a survivor my whole life. Like, I don't remember my life before Tommy. So it has very much been a formative experience for me and a huge part of who I am and my identity. And I have never seen anything that shows your life after cancer, that is in a film or in TV. It's typically, a person battling cancer and their treatment, but it's rarely about how cancer can impact your life or how a traumatic illness, like the mental and physical and emotional ramifications that that has on someone, as they grow older. And especially for me, I really struggled through my teen years. I had mental health issues and, had an eating disorder, and that's largely what the film was about. And I just, was very vulnerable with this film and writing my personal experience. But it was also really cool to, tell that story and bring that light to the cancer survivor experience. And I've met so many cancer survivors, a lot of women, since I've made this film, and a lot of them are young and have told me, like, wow, I've never seen anything like this, and I really identify, or I struggled with the same sort of thing. And, even just people who aren't survivors, but women, like, have, told me and my writing partner, like, oh, I went through the same thing with my friend. I drifted apart from my best friend. Or, the character based off my writing partner is struggling with coming to terms with her sexuality and trying to figure out how to come out as a lesbian in a conservative Hispanic household. So there's some representation with her character too. And just like, it's pretty diverse in the depiction. And we were really cognizant too of having like a female-centered story told by women. So it was great. We actually were just awarded our Reframe stamp by Women in Film and the Sundance Institute, which is a indication of gender balanced hiring. So that was really cool, because it was important to me as director and producer to have like a female DP, female producing team, as many women on the team as possible. And it just ended up also, creating such a great environment, because the film has a lot of sensitive subject matter when it comes to mental health and disability, but also, with sexuality and, just some sensitive scenes. And we were working with minors because the characters are teens. So it was really important to me, as you know, the lead on the project, to create a really safe space for all my actors and, you know, everyone on the crew as well, and make sure it felt like a welcoming, positive environment. And yeah, I'm really happy to hear too that we're able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it really is an incredible movie, and I think, you touched on it in your last answer, and what I really loved about the movie is that you're bringing such a unique and fresh perspective, but at the same time, you're really touching on parts of the human condition that everybody experiences, especially during that very, like, I guess, for lack of a better word, intriguing time between middle school and high school. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah, I love
Yeah.
that you say that. It means a lot to hear that from you, Tommy, because I very much made the movie for women, you know, to shine a light on things that women experience. And largely, you know, I believe that the teen experience is such a formative time in every young person's life. But for women, I think they struggle with a lot of societal and like emotional pressures. And, you know, part of the theme of the film is that you never really know what someone is going through unless they share that with you. You won't know. And that happens to the two main characters. They don't understand what the other is going through because they keep missing each other over the course of the summer. And so that was something that really struck me, as an adult looking back on my childhood, where there were a lot of people I was really close to and they were going through significant challenges and I didn't know. And same to me, you know, I was going through significant challenges with my personal life and home life, and many people too. I've been open about my experience, like of how I struggled with my mental health now that I'm sharing this film publicly. And many people are like, oh, I didn't realize you went through that. And it's a very vulnerable thing to be sharing, you know, such a raw and emotional piece of my life and experience. But I do think that the stories that are the most powerful are the ones that are authentic and feel vulnerable and real. And, you know, authenticity is just really important to me and my work and also how I operate as a person. But why I say that is it's really nice to hear that from you, Tommy, because, you know, I made the movie for women, but whenever men resonate with the film, I'm like, that is just so amazing to hear. And like, you're an ally. So I appreciate that. And
Oh, well,
it's
thank you very
cool. Like,
much.
one of my best friends from NUN, Donovan, he was like, you know, I had a friend who went through a similar experience and he read the script. He's like one of my closest collaborators and gives me a lot of feedback and vice versa. And he said that, and it's special too, like, because I know women resonate, but when men do too, it's just great to know that it can be universal. Or even like our graphic designer is this great guy named Chris Edge from Edgeview Creative, and he was like, I resonate with this film as a dad who has young teen daughters, and I see, you know, the things that them and their friends go through. And yeah, it might not be the same, but like, I feel for you and your characters and all of that. So it's special to me.
Yeah. No, that's yeah, I think that's really cool. And I think what I really what was so cool about the movie that I love the word you used was the authenticity of it. And I think that it is really as I don't know, do you think raw would be a good way to characterize it? But it
Yeah,
really is
that's how I
though.
character. Yeah, I love that you say that because, and I laugh because that's like basically the pitch that I give people when they say, "What's your movie about?" Is it's a real and raw coming of age drama about identity, sexuality, friendship, and the aftermath of surviving cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you get involved with the Boston International Film Festival? What was that process like?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's a dream come true. And so for those of you who aren't familiar with the process of film festivals, basically you make a film, whether that be a short film, documentary, feature film, anything, and then you submit to festivals to have your formal world premiere or even like regional premiere after you world premiere. But it was a long process, honestly, Tommy. Like, we finished post-production in September 2023. So I had been waiting almost over half a year to get into a film festival, and I was rejected a many a times. You know, I won't share the exact number, but let's just say it was above 10. You know, it was I think
Hey, that's all right.
also no, and it's just also not a testament to anything, because as an artist, rejection is just something you have to be comfortable with, because not everyone is going to resonate with your art. And also, these festivals are sometimes looking for a very specific thing and also are very competitive. And it was, just a dream of mine to be able to world premiere the movie where we made the movie, because the film was made all entirely in Massachusetts, shot with a team of people from Massachusetts and actors from Massachusetts. And we had 110 people work on the movie with all their extras included. And we shot for 21 days over the course of August and September 2022. So it was quite a big endeavor for an indie film. And I really wanted the experience to share the film in person with everyone. And so we, we're applying to a few other ones that we wanted to get into, but basically, the film festival, they called me and they were like, "Hey, so we loved your film. We were, really moved by it, and we think you did a really good job, and we think it's really unique, and we would love to, premiere it in our festival." And I was just so excited. Oh my God, it was like a dream come true,
That's
because
awesome.
in my personal life too, and in my other, profession, I had faced a lot of loss and rejection. And so it was just such a great win that I had been working for almost 3 years. And, I feel like it's my responsibility as director and leader of the project to advocate for everyone involved on the team, because I, as director and producer, was providing them with the opportunity of, being in a feature for the first time, or having a big role, or, it's my like role to make sure that the film is seen in the best possible light, and then eventually too with distribution, like I find the best fit for the film. And so yeah, I was so excited and I accepted, and they were just so nice, and we ended up getting a really prime spot, which is April 14th. It's Sunday, right before Boston Marathon Monday. And our screening time is 5 p.m. So I'm like, yes. And it's at the Strand Theater. And, I was just really happy about everything. And it's like a 1,000+ seat theater, which
Oh,
is
that's awesome.
just like amazing. And I, grew up in a town right outside of Boston, but also in Boston, because my parents were divorced and we lived with my dad in the city. So I was super familiar with like all the areas. And he was on Tremont Street when we were growing up, so we were like, always at the Boston Common and always at that AMC and always at the movie theater and stuff. And so it's just very special to, be premiering at home. And I ended up also planning an independent screening, so a community premiere 2 days later on April 16th, at 6 p.m. at the Somerville Theater. And that is just mostly because the festival is open to the public, but sadly I don't like get the ability to invite everyone for free who was involved in the movie. So I basically am able to invite my whole cast and crew and everyone who helped me. Like, I was mentioning Express Gourmet, the restaurant. Like, I'm like, here's all these tickets. Like, I can't wait for you to come. And they're gonna bring like a cool poster to promote their restaurant and yeah, stuff like that. So it's very much a community feel. And then my mentor from Women in Film New England, she's moderating the Q&A that we have after the movie. And, I was chatting with you on the phone about this earlier, but the Somerville Theater is a dream theater for me because it has a big marquee outside. And I just like dreamed of seeing Growing Pains on a marquee. And, we got an amazing 800 seat theater. So I'm planning to pack the house. And, I'm
Oh,
excited that you'll
absolutely.
be there.
Oh, I'm so pumped. It's exciting. Oh, it's so exciting to go to a, say I get to go to a film premiere. How cool is that?
Yeah, and it's cool. Like the film festival one will have like a red carpet and a backdrop. So my whole family is excited. And my sister Victoria is in the movie. She's the toxic rowing coach, Coach
Oh, no
Dawson.
way.
So it's her like feature film acting debut, and it's my directing, writing, producing debut. So it's just like a family thing. And my dad's house was in the movie. It was Nat Guzman's family house in
Oh,
Natick.
okay.
So
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
like I said earlier, like I wouldn't have been able to make this movie without the help of my community. And even Bianca was my script supervisor, and she and her family were so generous and were like, you can film at our house. And so Zoe's house was Bianca's
That's
house.
so cool. Wow. It, you
Yeah.
know, it really
I
just all
know.
connects. That's
I
so
know,
funny. I
yeah.
love that.
Yeah, and I also have to, shout out too. Like, I feel like I was meant to make this movie, and I don't remember if I told you this prior, but I made this movie entirely independently, and so we didn't even have a casting director. It was just me and my writing partner Mari on backstage putting out a casting call and looking through all the submissions, and we found a lot of great people, but for the character of Zoe, who is the lead character based off me, it was an incredibly niche requirement because, I really wanted to authentically cast teens. I didn't want to cast adults playing teens. I thought that just feels inauthentic to me and can create harmful representation sometimes. And also, her character has this rowing storyline. That's a big plot point for her in the movie. And my friend Clara, who came on the film as like the rowing safety and logistics coordinator, was like, Kat, you cannot have someone who doesn't know how to row be in a boat. Like, that's just a no-no. And I didn't know because I'm not a rower. I was a volleyball player, and that's where I got the inspiration for, the student athlete and mental health challenges I face. But I was inspired with rowing because I just really felt that I knew so many kids growing up who developed like eating disorders and toxic habits because rowing has weight classes and it's so intense. And so, Claire was telling me, for the roles of Zoe and her friend Sam, who's on the rowing team, like they need to know how to row. So Zoe's character had to be a teen girl. She had to be an actress. She had to be a rower. And then she's also a cancer survivor. So she has a big scar that divides her stomach in half, like I have. And that was a big point, in the film. It's like essentially her inciting incident, which you'll, when you guys watch the movie, you'll see what happens when she goes to a pool party and wears a bikini for the first time and, is confronted by her crush. And she just really struggles with her body image. And that was something I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to like special effects make up the scar. And that wasn't what I wanted to do, but I literally like did not dream that there would be any sort of way I could work around it. And so I was trying to fill the boats for my rowing team. So I posted in like our high school rowing Facebook group with the town next door to us. And I was like, hey, I'm making a feature. I'm an alumni of this town. And I basically like need extras to help me fill these boats. It's a rowing film or potentially a lead. And my lead actress, Molly Mornwick, she ended up reaching out to me and she was like, hey, so I saw your posting. I'm a student at Wayland High. And I felt like this was really meant to be because I had a tumor when I was 5 and I had the same scar as your character. And I'm an actress and I'm a rower. And so many people sent me your posting. And while I've never acted on screen before, I just really thought I had to reach out. And, she was so sweet and like,
That's awesome.
just really humble. And I just knew immediately, I'm like, this is the girl. And like, it just felt so special for me because I do have a disability, and authenticity and representation on and off screen is really important to me. But this was something I never thought could even be possible because I wasn't dreaming or thinking big enough, truthfully. And when we just got connected, it was like so special for me as, creator of source material to just like authentically cast and not have to special effects makeup. And I'm not kidding, like her scar looks exactly like mine. It was like really kind of jarring to see like that she could relate, and having someone like who can empathize with the medical background is like just like such a dream come true, truly.
No, it really sounds like you're doing amazing things for just representation and just I'm excited to see what happens with this film after. Hopefully, we'll be seeing it a lot more often. Now, that being said, Catherine, since this is Northeastern next, I would love to hear from you. I know we covered a lot of bases, but what is next for you?
I love that. Yeah. So definitely keep creating. I mean, I made the feature and I finished filming, and so many people asked me, like, would you make another one? And I was like, well, yeah, this is what I love and this is what I'm good at. And, you know, I have started development on my second feature film.
Awesome.
It's something I'm super stoked about. It's a coming-of-age surfing drama set in 1970s Florida. So it's very much a different story from Growing Pains, even though it is another coming-of-age sports drama, but it's just tonally different. But it does explore similar mental health and disability themes, not as a cancer survivor, but just, you know, the struggles that athletes face and, you know, people can face in their life when they lose someone in a traumatic way. And so that's very near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I'm working on the script and finished a pitch deck and, you know, have been applying to a few things for it because I would really love to make the proof of concept for the movie as, you know, a short film and just be like, this is the intro of the film adapted. And I want to do that because making a surfing movie is just much more ambitious than making Growing Pains, and it's a period piece too. So there's a lot of safety and logistics and producing and stunts coordinations to think about. But as a surfer myself, I'm even more excited. You know, I can connect to that subject matter too, and I'm really passionate about surfing, so it's cool. And then me and my friends and my sister are shooting a TV pilot that I am directing and I wrote. And also, I guess I'm producing, but I have a great team helping me produce as well later in the summer. And that's basically the concept is a first date gone horribly wrong with a surrealist twist. And, you know, I love to write from personal experience. I get really inspired by my daily life, whether that be a funny interaction or, you know, something I've struggled with. And it's cool to bring a little bit of yourself into your writing, even though the characters are fictionalized and the experiences are fictional. So, yeah.
I mean, that's so exciting. You know, I hopefully in the future we'll be able to get you back on here and we can talk to you about
Oh,
we could talk about your TV pilot and we could talk about the new surfing movie. That's so cool. Well,
yeah. For
hey, I
sure.
just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with me and to be on the podcast because this is an awesome episode and I'm really excited to see the movie with everybody and I'm excited for everyone to see the movie too. I'm sure you are as well. So,
Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you. After the premiere, is there anywhere that people will be able to see the film?
Yeah, well, so we're still in the process of seeking distribution. I just really want to find a good fit. And we're so early on in the you know, film festival process because this is our world premiere. The film hasn't been seen anywhere. And, you know, at our community premiere, that'll be the second time the film has been seen. So it's a pretty big deal. And you can check us out on socials at Growing Pains Movie. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, my socials are Catherine Argiropoulos. And basically, I just post a lot about the movie and my work and my life and surfing and my friends.
Sounds nice.
But my goal for the film is to have a streaming service have the film online so people can watch from their homes and it's accessible. So basically, you can watch Growing Pains and you can be anywhere in the country and get that chance to see the movie. So hopefully that's in the near future. I'm not sure, but I'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure, you know, people will be following you too from here. So I'm sure they'll be in the loop too. That's awesome. Well,
Yeah, thank you, Tommy.
yeah, thanks again, Catherine. That was awesome.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Northeastern Next. Are you or do you know a Northeastern alum with a great story to tell? If so, email us at alumni@northeastern.edu to be featured on a future episode of the pod. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you the week after next.